are listening to the Stick and Hack Show, a show about golf and life from a stick and a hack. Now, here is your host, Adam Grubb. And
all right, everybody, it is the Stick and Hack Show, quite possibly the greatest golf show in the free world. From the greatest golf club in the world without the course, I'm your host, Adam Grubb, the hack. That's Mike Ryan, the stick. Mike, hello, how are you? What is up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. It's good to see you. So we have an incredible show, and one of these sticks, only at Stick and Hack can we bring a story like this. And you know, our golf show, we are golf and life, of course, and we're trying to show all sides of golf. And this dude has all sides of golf. Not only does he have all sides, this dude loves golf so much that he learned to stand and walk again just so he could play golf.
Absolutely.
Dustin Boydell is the guest, and he is a gamer, a golfer, and a paraplegic, and he caught fire on Twitter just a couple weeks ago with a tweet of him actually standing and swinging a golf club where he's years removed from an accident that it appeared as if he wasn't going to be able to walk and or much less swing a golf club, Mike. And then as a joke, he tagged at Phil Mickelson on his tweet. All of a sudden, 100,000 views, and Phil and him are now like buddies. Phil tweeted him back and said some things, and so he has an incredible story of redemption, of growth, overcoming odds, all of those things. Dustin Boydell is the guest here on the Stick and Hack Show. Mike, from a question perspective, this is one of those interviews that can go 100 different ways. What are you excited to talk to him about?
No, just the challenges that he's overcoming as he heals from this injury. That to me, that's the big story here. It's just it's amazing and really really exciting to see that he's starting to be able to you know, bring attention to accessibility to golf to folks that are handicapped. So
yeah, and that's one of the things that he's trying to do. He's trying to bring more people in that into the game. But here's the most frustrating part of this entire thing for me. And as we know, this is about
it's always about you. It's always about you.
Is that Dustin's swing is incredible, and it is better than guess who's?
Your
mine. And the dude had to learn how to swing again, had to learn how to walk and stand up. And he's got a better swing than me. Dustin's going to be on the show here in just a little bit. We can't wait to talk to him. So let's talk about overcoming odds, Mike. This is one of these from a story perspective. You hear them all the time of people that are overcoming obstacles, not just for their careers, but in sport. And we've picked several here that I think really articulate those that love their sport so much and love the passion and the excitement that their sport brings them, that despite anything, they were going to overcome them. Bethany Hamilton. Hamilton took up surfing from a young age and excelled on the waves long before being attacked by a tiger shark at age 13 in 2003. The attack cost Hamilton her arm, but her passion and bravery remained. Now, she entered the water again just 1 month later with a custom board, and after changing her style, her surf style, to surf with just one arm, she entered and won professional competitions. Just 1 year after the accident, in 2004, Hamilton won the NSSA national competition in Australia, winning it again the next year in the United States. She continues winning competitions till today, having conquered the Surf and Sea Pipeline Women's Pro in 2014. My God, Bethany Hamilton, you've seen the story.
Yeah.
That is overcoming odds. Jim Abbott, does that name sound familiar, Mike?
He does. Absolutely.
Jim is nowadays considered as one of the best pitchers in baseball history. But his career became more impressive if you acknowledge that he was born without his right hand. He's a pitcher with no right hand. An excellent quarterback in high school, and although he could have had an easier career in football, Jim wanted to play baseball. Even though most people would tell him it was quite unlikely for a kid that was missing an actual right hand and a disability to become a pitcher in a game that involves playing, throwing, catching with both hands, Jim said, no, I love baseball. I'm gonna do it. With persistence, he was drafted and picked to play in the Seoul Olympic Games, where he won the unofficial gold medal for the United States. It was unofficial because baseball was used as a demonstration sport at the time. Later, he went to play for the California Angels, the New York Yankees, Chicago White Sox, among other teams who are normally on top of the MLB. He, if you remember correctly, he had the mitt on one arm. He would pitch, and then he would put the mitt back on his left hand. Incredible story. He And growing up, I used to watch him and I'd be like, is this dude for real? Like, is this what's
going
on here?
He was incredible.
Incredible. Yeah. Jim Abbott. Anthony Crolla. Crolla was just weeks away from a shot at the lightweight world title when his neighbor's house was broken into. Crolla spotted the man, chased them off, but while he caught one of them, the other ambushed Crolla with a concrete slab, leaving him with a fractured skull. A slightly harder blow, a slightly different angle, Mike, and Crolla would have been dead. He vowed to return to the ring and become a world champ, and he did exactly that in 1 year from that accident and from that attack. Anthony Crolla, overcoming odds. Jim Abbott, overcoming odds. Bethany Hamilton, overcoming odds. And that brings us to our guest today, Dustin Boydell, 34-year-old husband and father of two. On February 14, 2018, he was rushed into surgery for an epidural spinal abscess that had compressed his spinal cord, leaving him completely paralyzed from the waist down. When he awoke, he was told there was a good chance he would never walk again. From that moment, he decided to beat the odds and has been working exhaustively to get back on his feet permanently and to play golf again. He is now best friends with Phil Mickelson, and he is now on the Stick and Hack Show. Dustin, welcome in to the show. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So do I have that right? You and Phil hanging out now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, we're very tight. No, he hasn't responded to any tweets since, so I think it's it was a one-shot deal.
Well, did you move into stage five clinger there pretty quickly, all right?
Oh,
as soon as Phil you start going hard. Hey, let's play golf, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta strike while the iron's hot, right?
So, Mike, have you seen the tweet that
absolutely
really caught fire? Everyone talks about viral
absolutely
content.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You created something just to show, hey, look what I'm doing, right? It was to showcase. Yes. And you can see it on Twitter. Obviously, you can follow him, Dustin Boydell, and on Stick and Hack. But you just had a video of you swinging a golf club with a little bit of help, a little bit of support, where 3 years ago you might not walk again. You sure as hell weren't going to swing a golf club again. Your world kind of caved in on you.
Mm-hmm.
And now here you are tweeting out you swinging a golf club and getting hundreds of thousands of views. What are you up to now?
I think on Twitter, it hit on my tweet alone, it hit almost 320,000 views. And then
right.
The PGA Tour actually featured me on all of their main socials. And their Facebook post hit 500,000 views as well. Wow. So through all of the different social media posts and different shares and things, we're probably at a million views now.
Well, I can't promise you Stick and Hack's going to do much past that. it is a pleasure to have you on the show. Your story is obviously amazing and inspirational. How surprised were you by the reaction that the world gave you, the golf world, as well as many others, and, of course, the Phil connection? Explain that and what your thoughts were right after that.
It was just a regular day, a regular post. You know, for the last 3 years, I've used social media to keep friends and family updated on big milestones and big gains in my recovery. So when I posted that one, it was just, you know, when I was a teenager, Phil was one of my heroes, watching him go head to head against Tiger and through those heydays of his first major victories and those sort of things. And so, being a left-handed golfer myself, not a lot of left-handed golfers on tour, there was always that connection to Phil, just because he was the lefty who shined on tour. And so when I posted the tweet, I was like, oh, I'll tag Phil in it just for shits and giggles. And, you know, like anyone tags a celebrity, you know, they're never going to respond or anything. And then suddenly about 12 hours later, it popped up that he liked both of my tweets, like the initial tweet and a reply. And then suddenly he commented, and then out of nowhere, my phone just exploded. And I'd never experienced anything like that before in my life. And it just kept going and going and going. And then it was PGA. And then I had different people reaching out,
us,
yourselves. Us. Yeah. It's Stick and Hack. You guys reached out, a golf ball company, Sugar Golf Balls, reached out offering to send me some golf balls.
Member perk partner, by the way, of Stick and Hack.
Perfect. So, there you go. Yeah.
Connections all over the place. Yeah. So did you tell your wife and be like, hey, I'm a celebrity now. I'll talk to you in a couple of days. I got to go on a media tour.
I said to her, something weird is happening. My phone's kind of going crazy, and Phil Mickelson commented and liked my tweet, and she's like, who's Phil Mickelson?
Oh.
So I had to explain to her, I'm like, well, he's probably one of, if not the greatest left-handed golfer in the world or ever. And she goes, oh, that's cool. And then suddenly my close friends who were on Twitter were like, hey, have you seen this on PGA? Like, this is you. And they're like, this is crazy. And yeah, it just kind of escalated from there.
Dustin, how difficult has the journey been just to, I mean, I'm just thinking about regaining your balance and get to a place where you feel like you can swing a golf club again. That's just amazing to me.
It's been a extremely difficult physical journey and even a difficult mental journey. The first year of my recovery, I was extremely weak. I tried to swing a golf club one-handed by using, like, standing with an arm crutch. I had ankle braces and everything, and when I swung, I almost hit the dirt. I topped the ball, just made awful contact, and it was very disheartening. Because at the time, I knew there was no way I was going to be able to afford a para golfer to be an adaptive golfer. So I kind of just put the clubs away and didn't even think about it for another almost 2 years. And just continued working as hard as I could. And eventually was finally able to start swinging the club and felt confident enough to bring it into my physio and ask them if they would be interested in helping me out. And when it got to the point where we were able to swing a full swing, we took a video right away. And that was my first full swing, or I guess second full swing since my injury in almost 4 years. So
the tweet was your second full swing in 4 years?
Yes.
Well, that's disheartening.
Well, you put it into perspective. I was a 2 handicap when I was 18 years old. Okay. So it's not like it's completely out of nowhere. There is some muscle memory there. But yeah, it was a shock to a lot of us how smooth it went and how I was able to recover my balance after the follow through and even push through on a bit of a follow through and get a hip rotation because I'm still hindered from the waist down. You know, my quads are great, but my glutes, my hamstrings, my ankles, my calves, they're all still in a weakened state, maybe about between anywhere from 65% to 80% of full use. So
you are, walk us through the recovery process and where you are today to when you got the news in February, three years ago, to today. What is that progression been
so, like? So initially it just started off as back pain. It felt like any other strain, like, you know, you overworked yourself or lifted something too heavy. And then it started to escalate. So I was playing in a hockey tournament, ice hockey tournament, and I played through the first game after going to a chiropractor to get some relief on the pressure. And then the next day I was just, it was the most excruciating pain I've ever experienced. And so I rushed to the hospital to get it checked out. They figured, oh, you bulged a disc. And it was kind of a back and forth for another couple days. And then the neurological issues started happening where I lost control of my foot. It just dropped out on me. And I was like, that is not normal. And that's when things started to get a little bit scary. So we went to a different hospital for another opinion. They did a CT. That's when they found the abscess. The next day they did an MRI and said, we're going to have to rush you into surgery. There was a bit of a ball drop in communication. The paralysis was setting in, but that wasn't properly communicated, and I ended up waiting an extra 24 hours for surgery, which wow. caused more of the paralysis to be permanent. Had they done surgery right away, there's a chance I could have been maybe 2 or 3 months and been back to 100%. Because this wasn't an actual impact trauma or devastating injury, I actually had a staph infection in my blood is what they found was the cause. So when they did the emergency surgery, they removed the abscess, removed the pressure. I woke up from surgery and they said, there's a good chance you may never walk again because the paralysis has been permanently set in from the waist down. So there was a very dark moment through those first couple days. But then as I woke up in the hospital, in the recovery ward, and slowly started doing the rehab, they were giving me some positive feedback. And just 2 days later, I could rotate my right leg about 10 degrees side to side. And they were shocked, absolutely shocked that anything was showing signs of recovery. So then we went into a rehab hospital right away and spent 3 months there. And I told them the day I went in, I wanted to walk out of there. And they kind of laughed at me. But they promised to work as hard as I was willing to work. We worked very, very hard. They basically trained me to live in a wheelchair when I left, but we still worked on walking. And the day I was discharged, I took my first 10 steps with a two-wheeled walker. And that was a huge, huge, huge accomplishment for me, because I said I was going to do something and I actually did it, and I was already beating the odds. And so that just kind of paved the way for the rest of the recovery. That first year was pretty tough because I was in a wheelchair for 90% of it. I could walk short distances with arm crutches and leg braces. And then, through intense physio, I was going 4 days a week. That first year we got out of the wheelchair, walking with canes. We got rid of the ankle braces, which all textbooks said I would never be able to do. And now I'm at the point where I'm walking with a single point cane. I'm starting to swing a golf club again. And actually, I did reach out to some golf agencies last year, looking into what they did for people with disabilities and paraplegia and different things, because I couldn't find anything online nationally or provincially. And that was kind of disheartening and put me back another year. But this year, I had a different fire under me this year. I was finally ready to push myself. I felt safe enough that I was going to be able to go out on a course, not really hold anyone back and not be a detriment to the course or to myself, because myself, for the safety, swinging a golf club is it's not an easy motion on your body, even for an able-bodied person. Yeah. It's a lot of torque and things. So I didn't even know if my back that's been surgically repaired or my muscles were going to be strong enough to swing standing. But yeah, so we're kind of where we're at today. It's a hard story to tell because you don't want to dwell too much on the bad stuff. Like, there was obviously some mental health issues and depression. Sure. and all of the bad. There's pain issues, neuropathic pain. You go through the same type of pain that amputees go through because your body's trying to do its regular checks on everything, make sure everything's still okay. And so when it doesn't get a signal that, hey, your pinky toe is there, it makes one up and it combines all the different pains and just fires them all at once. And you can go hours, days, just in bed, tears rolling down your face. You can't even move. It's the most intense pain you've ever experienced. But,
well, Dustin, you touched on it a second ago. When it comes to the overall, obstacles of paraplegic and handicapped community having access to golf in general.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you want to see happen and could happen down the road?
I'd love to see, bigger companies getting involved. I'd love to see less lip service. There's a lot of people who want to help, but then when push comes to shove, they either don't have time or they don't have the proper budgets or different things, or you just kind of get forgotten and you just keep getting pushed aside and aside and aside. And it's just easier to do things for able-bodied people because it's the greater majority of the population. And so, the sad thing is 1 in 3 people, even just in Canada, are suffer a disability, a physical disability of some sort. So that's a pretty big percentage that aren't really getting the attention that they deserve. Yeah. One thing that's really frustrating is the cost. You know, most people who suffer a disability then struggle to meet the same economic status that an able-bodied person meets, because they then can't work the same jobs, or some can't work at all. You know, and then a medical company turns around and says, okay, well, I'm going to need $35,000 for this golf cart if you want to go play golf. And it's like, well, that's doesn't seem fair. I just paid $10,000 for a wheelchair to push myself around in. And, you know, the costs are just insane. As soon as you put medical equipment on it, or assistive equipment, or adaptive equipment, it's almost criminal how much they expect to charge some of these people, especially people who may not have insurance coverage or extended healthcare coverage and things. You know, they just expect people to be out of pocket with this. And it, and right off the bat, you go into a mental depression of, I'll never be able to afford that. They don't care about me at all. And then you try to look for programs and support, and there just isn't any. That, you know, they have some programs in big cities, but then as soon as you start to get outside of those big cities, it becomes less and less. And it's like, well, there's a coffee meetup with some other people in wheelchairs that you can go see. And it's like, okay, so we're all just going to sit around like we always do and just talk about our problems. And it's, you know, I just love to see
if you're gonna do that, do it on the golf course. Right?
Exactly.
We're going to talk about our problems, and we're going to go through the pains of life.
Yeah.
Let's at least do it while hitting a golf ball. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Dustin, you know, golf seems to have a healing power for many people. And we've talked to there's multiple people we've had on the show just talking about the healing power of golf. How has golf helped you in your journey to come back from this injury? And how do you see it helping you continue to heal throughout this process?
Well, for one, just the mental motivation to get there has been huge for me. It's been my favorite sport since I was 9 years old. I've always loved it. Motivationally speaking and physically speaking, as I started to swing a golf club a little bit and work on the balance, you know, we were using resistance bands and things at physio and focusing on the mechanics of a golf swing before we actually went to the golf swing. And just the mechanics were almost a full body workout. They were great to get some responses out of my ankles and my calf muscles, because you need so much lower body transition and the transition of weight shifting, utilizing the muscle memory that I already had from before my injury was allowing my brain to almost reconnect some pathways easier and actually show more response in my ankles and my calf muscles and different things. Once we started doing those exercises, and when I went to the driving range, I actually went to the driving range 2 days after that golf swing, video and hit some golf balls. And, I was extremely surprised and pleasantly surprised at how well I was hitting the ball. But I could feel the muscles in my legs almost responding more immediately, more so than I've felt in the last 3 years, just because it's a similar or a familiar feeling. And I went to one of the driving ranges with my dad and my daughter. It's a top tracer range, and I'm happy to say I can still hit it 280 yards right down the middle. And I almost felt bad
because
my dad was struggling a bit, and I went up there and I was just crushing the ball. I was averaging about 245, 250 with the top tracer balls.
We're all very impressed.
And I felt like I was hitting it better. So.
I think it's shocking, though. And Mike, we talk about this a lot in our personal lives when we're on the course, is that you tell me all the time, fire the hips and all the work that goes into the lower body of the golf swing, that I'm two arms and all that other crap you tell me. But at the end of the day, that's the case. But here's what's happening. Dustin's game is not, and his healing power is not just mentally, that he could be out there and can do the thing that he loves. It's physically, it is healing itself because of what he's doing, and it's because of golf. And as a lifelong golfer, and I mean, we have an entire brand around golf, that's exciting to hear. Mike, can you even fathom that on your side? Do you understand what he's saying and how that could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, everything that he's talking about makes total sense to me, just from the fact that if you're concentrating on the golf swing, and I'm sure having already had that basis prior and having been a golfer before, some of that muscle memory, and then actually just trying to get back into swinging a golf club, I can totally see how that would be an excellent exercise for the lower body. And just being able to, you don't realize like how much when you're, you know, every day, and you've been playing golf for so long, you forget how much you're using your lower body. But then if you just stop and think about it, there's so much going on with the lower body, with balance and your core, and just trying to keep yourself over the golf ball, that I see how that totally is just could be an amazing way to exercise the lower body and start to get those muscles to fire again. So,
Dustin, we appreciate your time and your energy and your passion and your excitement. We want to help, you know, how can Stick and Hack, how can we help you in your journey to bring awareness to spinal injuries, of course, but making golf more accessible to those? Is there, and what can someone do immediately to try to help get that word out?
You know, it's just keep spreading the word that there are disabled golfers out there. You know, we are out there. It is expensive. You know, golf is an expensive sport. We need to get some of these corporations to be like, okay, we need to get a para golfer at, you know, 75% of the golf courses in North America, so that if there's someone in a city that's paralyzed, they can go to the course, rent the para golfer, and go play a round of golf. You know, it shouldn't be too much to ask for a golf course to pay for one para golfer when they have 30 power carts for, you know, people who just don't want to walk the course.
That's a great point.
Right? Like, you know, golf is 18 holes. You can walk, like, I walked the course my whole life. You know, that's one of the greatest things about golf, is you can get the exercise. It's low impact. If you know, you can play it till the day you die. I see guys out there 75 years old pulling a little pull cart, you know, and they're walking, playing 18 holes, and then you see a 20-year-old out there in a power cart bombing around because he doesn't want to walk. It's too hot out. I need my power cart, you know?
But someone who's in
a wheelchair.
Canadians. Power cart.
I'm guilty. I am totally guilty of that.
Mike's blowing around and going, hey, can I play through? Can you hop on the top, please?
Yeah, right? But you know, it seems kind of silly to me that golf courses aren't willing to make that investment for someone who's in a wheelchair. Yeah. Because there are plenty of us out there, and if that type of accessibility was there, I guarantee that the number of adaptive golfers would start skyrocketing.
Agreed. Dustin Boydell, thank Absolutely. You so much. You're going to come back here in just a second for our game, right, Mike?
Well, I got one last question for you.
All right, yeah.
When are we going to play golf?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as these borders are open, you know, I'm ready to go.
So as soon as it opens up,
we have asked every guest that in the history of time, and everyone gives us the same answer, which is yeah, anytime, and it's happened zero times in 2 years. So,
that hasn't happened yet, but
hopefully, Dustin, you're gonna be the first, right? All right, sounds good. Hang tight for just a second. We'll come back to you for a sticker hack, okay? All right, takeaway time, Mike. I mean, where do you even start with that story? Where do you start with his passion, his energy, his true drive, not just personally, but professionally, to try to overall change the golf landscape for disabled and handicapped people? It's incredible. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, I cannot even imagine having to have gone through what he went through. And it's just amazing that he has been able to have the mental and physical fortitude to bring himself back to a point where he's able to walk again. He has the balance and feels comfortable enough to be able to swing the golf club again. And you know, we talked about it, you know, in the interview, just the around the healing power of golf. And it's just amazing to me. Like, it's probably one of the most addictive sports ever. So I feel like there's some component there, that addiction of wanting to get back to be able to have that feeling of swinging the golf club and making contact with the golf club, that is driving him to be able to swing that golf club again. It's just, it's amazing to me, and it's incredible. And it's awesome that Phil retweeted his video and really got him some exposure there to be able to get the word out about paraplegic golfers and handicapped golfers. And hopefully we can help to get that word out and bring some awareness to that community and be able to open up some doors for accessibility to the game of golf.
My takeaway was very simple, that this was not about him. And this was about the overarching storyline. And at the beginning, it was just, hey, I'm going to play golf. I'm just going to do everything I can to get there. I'm sure he was talking about his, you know, walking with his kids and doing all the other stuff.
I am.
But in that same moment, his depression hit of, I'm not going to play golf again. And then he moved through that. But now it's not about him. It's about the cause, and it's about the story, and it's about people like him. It's incredible in all facets. So Dustin Boydell, we bring you back in after talking just nice things about you. I can't believe that those headphones are still in your head, Dustin. all right, so let's play a game called Stick or Hack. All right, do you know this game? Do you know what we do here?
Vaguely. You might have to give me a rundown.
No problem. So I'm going to give you a 10 things, and the three of us then say if it's stick or hack. Stick is okay. Yeah. Pretty good. And a hack is, yeah. All right. So stick or hack. The category is movies released 10 years ago.
Okay.
Now, it's a strange category. I know that. But when I started looking at movie titles, I'm like, oh my God, that's been 10 years that movie came out.
And then you feel
super old, and you feel like time is just going by like that, right?
Yep.
And somebody, I read something the other day that people today talk about the 90s like people in the 90s talked about the 60s. Okay, so think about that.
It's
mind-boggling. So 10 years ago these movies were released, and so it's stick or hack, and we'll start we'll go guest Mike and myself. Moneyball, right. Stick or hack?
Stick.
Absolutely.
Just Go with It.
Boo. Hack.
I don't even think I know that movie.
Adam Sandler and what's her name?
Brooklyn Decker, right?
Yeah, Brooklyn Decker.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hack.
Yeah, hack. No. Bridesmaids.
It's a stick, I guess.
Ooh. I'm going with stick.
I'm going with stick, not even a question.
I'm a big fan of that movie.
Yeah, not even a question. An instant stick. What? Yeah. Why the hesitation, Dustin?
I don't know. It was probably just the time of my life. I was kind of, I don't know. I didn't find it funny at the time. I find it funnier now. So it's a stick now.
Okay.
When 10 years ago, I found it a hack.
Way to crawl yourself out of that hole. The Three Musketeers.
I don't think I saw that one.
No,
so
nobody
did. Really.
Hack. Yeah, hack. You can actually move on.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
They did a Three Musketeers movie
exactly.
10 years ago?
10 years ago. Three Musketeers. The Lincoln Lawyer.
Hack.
Yeah, hack.
Not his best work.
Yeah.
I gotta go stick. For some reason, I really enjoy that movie.
I knew you would say stick. Just when I saw it on the list, I was like, he's a pretty
I just think movie. It's. I mean, it's the same role, right? That he's played. Matthew McConaughey plays all the time. He's just this cool kind of.
Yeah, and it led to him being Lincoln's spokesperson. So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Midnight in Paris.
Stick.
I'll go stick.
I'm going to go hack just because it's Woody Allen. And
well, fair enough. Yeah. I know.
Our boys had some issues.
Slightly.
Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Stick or hack? Movies released 10 years ago.
Stick.
Stick.
Yeah, I had to go back because there's 127 of them. I couldn't remember. This is the one.
Yeah.
They're all stick for me.
But I think I'll go stick as well. Limitless.
Fact.
I'll go Hack.
Oh, that one, man.
Is a little far-fetched.
I couldn't disagree with the two of you more. And your reaction, Dustin, is offensive.
Sorry.
Limitless is fantastic.
Don't apologize. Do not apologize. It's
great, great TV show, too.
That movie was 10 years ago. You know what? I wasn't exactly.
They still haven't come up with the pill. I'm shocked. No, it's 10 years.
That would help a lot of people. A lot of our problems would be solved. All right. No strings attached.
Hack.
I can't even remember what this movie was.
It was so stupid Ashton Kutcher. So that should tell you enough what you need to know.
Hack them. Yeah, exactly. I honestly don't. If I saw it, I don't remember it.
Was that Mila Kunis? No, that was
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman.
And Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake were the other one. It was basically the same storyline.
5 years later.
Whatever it was called.
Right. I think it was called Friends with Benefits.
That's it.
Look at me. Huh?
Look at you. Look at you, movie file.
I love teenage rom-coms. all right, so last sticker Hack here for a movie released 10 years ago, The Adjustment Bureau.
That was a hack.
Oh, man. I'm sadly going to say this is Stick just because I don't know why I enjoyed that movie.
I love that movie. Stick.
It was so weird, but it was
I might
like,
need to watch it again.
Do you remember the premise?
Yeah, it was Matt Damon, right? And he goes in. Yeah.
I can't believe it. This will be the last time you're on the show, Dustin. Good luck. I hope it all works out for you. There you go, everybody. Dustin Boydell. What a great guest for the great show. Mike, thank you so much. This is the Stick and Hack Show, quite possibly the greatest golf show in the world from the greatest golf club in the world without the course. Mike, proud of you. Dustin, proud of you. You guys have a great one. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
Proud of you, buddy. Peace out, later. Guys.
Have a good one.
Okay, we're done. This has been the Stick and Hack Show. Go to stickandhack.com to become a free member of the world's greatest golf club without the course.